for me. It's true. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. Well, I was just kind of shouting around the house this morning. This is my Bible. This is true. So I thought I'd throw you in on there. Amen. All right, we are on, let's pray. Father, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. And we just praise you and thank you. We thank you for this time. This is a set apart time to gather together, to grow together, to hear together. But God, you make every word personal for every person in this place. Father, it'll be like the big B12 booster shot that just takes us over and through and just strengthens us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So we are on our new series. Actually, this is week number 2 of our new series called Called. Called. It's called. Real easy. C-A-L-E-D. Called. And we started last week. If you weren't able to be with us, go to ycf.com and just press sign up for the message and you get the message. You can listen to it. And also, something else happens. Where's Sherry? Sherry's not here. She goes, Mom, did you go online? Did you check YCF.com? I'm like, no, I haven't. So she's always on my case about it. But I finally did. And if you sign up for the message of the week, you automatically get like the newspaper delivered to your computer, meaning you get the messages, not only the messages, but what's going on. We call it the e-blast of all the events. So I was like, okay, I'll tell Sherry. I know what's going on now. She's always, Sherry does announcements. Sherry does cards. Sherry does everything I don't want to do. Everybody should have a I don't want to do person in your life, right? Yeah. That's what teenagers were for a season. So, but anyway, go online or you can get a free CD. You fill out there's an envelope in front of you. Just fill out the envelope and we give CDs out. I still listen to CDs. I've got CD players all over my house and everything else. So do that. But let me catch you up and get everybody on the same page of what we covered last week, because it's going to be our foundation. And I'll still say some of the same stuff, but I want to get you to the foundation. So the title of the series is Called, and you are all called. And sometimes you read your Bible and you think, well, that's David. He was called to be king. He was called to be anointed. And that's Moses. He was anointed to lead the children. But you are called. Everybody say, I am called. And that word called or calling in your Bible is a Greek word, and I'm not pronouncing it. K-A-L-E-O. It's a Greek word, and this is what it means. Please write this down because you're going to hear it for the next 3 weeks. Okay, ready? Called. You are called, and a called means an invitation. How many of you like to get invitations? Amen. Yeah, an invitation to stand in a divine appointed position. Should be all shouting, laying on the floor, flipping. Called, an invitation to stand in a divinely appointed position. Okay, now here's the kicker. Ready? You all are called. You are a heavenly calling. God calls every single one of you to stand. Look at your neighbors and say, you are called to stand in a divinely appointed position. And you look at that person, you go, oh God, you're so full of faith, right? No, come on. I am called. You are called. Not just Pastor D, but you are called to stand in a divinely appointed position. So that's what we're going to talk about for the next, however I feel like it. We're going to talk about a general calling. A general calling. And that's for everybody. Okay, everybody here has a general calling, and then there's specific callings. It's like the right shoe that only fits Cinderella, me, right? There's specific callings that God has for you to do while you're on this planet, and we'll talk about that next week. But we're going to talk about general calls because it's for all of us. Y'all have a calling, all right? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to tell a lot of stories today because they just kind of pull this together. But the first 2 years that I was a baby Christian, that I just got saved, I probably was the most frustrated person you ever met. I was so frustrated in my Christianity. One, I didn't know a whole lot. Two, I did go to a good church. I started going to a church, and the church was really a preachy church. They preached a lot. They didn't teach a lot. And you have to have a both of that. So, but this was mostly a preachy church, and they were a great pastor and all that stuff. But I didn't know a whole lot of nothing. I did not know that God had calls in my life and called me for things and stuff like that. And I was so frustrated. And probably every other word is, I'm so frustrated. So let me tell you some of the things I was frustrated in because I didn't understand my calling. So I was told this way that hey, Dee, you know, you may be a Christian, but, you know, in the future, on the other side, when you get to heaven, you can then get to know God. But because you're still on the planet and you're still here, you really can't know God. That used to just frustrate me. Like, what? I got to wait to die? And the other thing, Dee, you're a Christian now, yay. But while you're here, I was so frustrated. He says, you're just going to have to battle sin. You're just going to battle it. And, you know, when you get to the other side, you won't have to deal with this sin thing. Well, glory, that wasn't a lot of fun. And the other one is, while you're here, and this frustrates me, you're not going to be able to understand this Bible. You can understand a little bit because, you know, while you're here, you just can't. But when you get to the other side, man, you're going to know. Okay, and those are all true things, but I was really frustrated. And this one was like the kicker. While you're here, you're just not going to have a whole lot of peace because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, problems, storms, and you're just not going to have peace. You'll have a little bit of peace. But when you get to the other side, whoa, you're going to have a whole lot of peace. So I was frustrated. I was just like, gosh, you know, all that stuff. But then I got a hold of some books. Whoa. By the way, we have an amazing bookstore with those books. But I got a hold of some books, and I also went to a different church. And that really just threw me over and into it, okay? And this is what I started reading those books. And by the way, back then, back in the dinosaur ages, they did not, when I grew up, have internet. Wow, and I couldn't go, hey, Google. So I read, and I still do. You come to my house, I've got piles all over the place. But I grabbed hold of these books, and you know what I found out? I found out here and now I can know God. I can have a relationship with God. I can have a friendship with God. I don't have to wait for, you know, someday when I drop dead and go to heaven, right? So I was like, whoa, that is wonderful. You know what else I found out? I can be free from sin here and now. Now listen, I still have a whole lot of mistakes. I am not perfect. There should be a sign, no perfect people allowed in this place, okay? I am not perfect, but I can overcome these sins and get better and better. I found that out, and I was like, okay, I am excited about being on this planet. I also found out that I could have peace. I could have peace every single moment of my day, even though the things are blowing up around me. Storms are blowing up. Sometimes I blow them up for myself, but sometimes people are blowing up stuff around me. And I found out I could have peace inside of me to walk through this life. And I was like, wow, this is exciting. This is super wonderful. And then the other one, I found out I could understand the Bible. I was like, whoa, I don't have to wait to someday over here and over there. So I stopped being so frustrated, and it was all because I found out it's part of my call. All those are part of your calling. All those understanding, all of that is what you're called. Okay, it's not, I'm called to pastor, but called to know this. And we're going to talk more about this today. So here's my big idea. Oh my goodness, it's snowing. Everybody look out the window. Okay, get away with it. So here's the big idea. Here's the main idea that I want you to understand more clearly than you ever had. Just going to just stick to you better than oatmeal. You ready? You ready? Here we go. We are called to live here. We are called to live here. We are called to live here like we're going to live there. Amen. Okay, so there is heaven here is now. There is heaven. And that's why I was so frustrated. You know, Dee, when you die someday on the other side, you can live like that. No. There's heaven, but here's now. And guess, do you ever read your Bible that says you can have heaven on earth? Yes, it is absolutely true. Okay, so all the things that will live like in heaven, you can have here and now. Is that the burger place Hot Now? Yeah, in California. Oh, gosh, delicious. Okay. Well, this is even better than that. You can have here and now. Here and now. You can have understanding of who God is. You can have a relationship here and now. You can walk in victory over sins here and now. It's exciting, all right? So you shouldn't be saying, I'm so frustrated. So I'm not so frustrated, all right? Now listen, we have been invited, what? To stand in a divinely appointed position, all right? And we have been invited to do that and to know God, to know all that Jesus did for us for here and now. That is exciting. So we're going to talk about our general calling. That's what all that is. But I was like, okay, God, I could give him 10 points because no D. 5 points, no D. 3 points. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 of the most common general callings that you all have. Just 3. 3 of the most general of our general calling. Just 3 of the most common ones. And here's the first one. You are called to live under God's grace. You are called to live under God's grace. That's your calling. That's my calling. That's every believer's calling. You are called to live under God's grace. All right? As opposed to living in the world where you're not sure if God's mad at you, you're not sure if he's just can't stand you, okay? Because you're not perfect. And remember, no perfect people allowed here. All right? So we are called to live under God's grace. We are called to live under God's grace, okay? So I want to share a little bit about my background. I get to do this a lot. But I grew up in a traditional church. And this church taught that there was not only heaven and hell, boo, but there was another place. Purgatory. Some of you are gone. What? Okay, this is the church I grew up with. They believed that there was this other place. All right. And you remember this stuff. They believe there's another place. It was like a third place. It was sort of like an eternal prison. Okay. And there, that's where you would go if you sinned and messed up until you could get out of there. Okay. That's where they believed. Now, you couldn't go directly to heaven. You had to go to this place called purgatory. So I was taught to believe that. It was just taught to believe that. And I believe that because they said, if you're not good, if you make mistakes, raise your hand, and you're going to make mistakes, raise your hand, then you're not good enough to go directly to heaven. You got to go to this purgatory place. Isn't that the goofiest thing? Not in the Bible. Okay, but I was taught that and I believe that. So it didn't really make a whole lot of sense and it didn't really change how I live my life until I was a junior in high school, and my grandmother, who I'm actually named after, died. And she was a sweet little lady. She came from England, and then she lived in Brooklyn. So between an English and a Brooklyn accent, it was really cute. She was also a very quiet lady. And both of my grandmothers lied. They said they were 5 foot tall. They weren't. They're just these little itty bitty ladies. But she was so sweet. So sweet. So my grandmother died when I was a junior in high school. 1 month later, her daughter died, which would be my aunt. And 1 month later, the aunt's husband, my uncle, died. So one a month for 3 months, okay? And it just was like an awakening in my life about people dying. And the kicker was somebody said, well, you know, they went to purgatory. I said, what? My sweet little grandma went to purgatory? Now, we also were taught to believe that you could have someone pray you out of purgatory. You can get out faster. There's a little cha-chink involved in it, too. But you could pray people out. Okay? I know. It's so goofy. But I bought it lock, stock, and barrel for a long time. So my grandmother someone said, she's in purgatory. And I thought, oh my goodness, who's going to pray me out? Because I am not perfect, and I mess up, and I sin, and so it just kind of shook my world. So I decided, what the heck, I'm just going to live and have fun. Because I'm going to go to purgatory, and who knows how long it's going to take to get me out of there, right? So, but then, here's the, get you back on track. But then I met Jesus. Woohoo! I did. I mean, praise God. I met Jesus, and he was after me. Matter of fact, just a side note. So probably the first month, Jim, we were out at Faith Christian Fellowship, and we went to a Wednesday night or a Sunday night meeting, and the pastor said, I have a word for a woman here. And he pointed to me, and I didn't know nothing about that. And I was like, huh? And he says, I have been after you like a dog to a new pan. I was like, is that a compliment? Well, you know what it meant? I thought I found Jesus, but he was always finding me. He was just, you know, so anyway, funny story. By the way, back in the day, we're bell-bottom hip huggers, okay, and a midriff shirt. And then someone laid hands on me. Woohoo, the shirt was up, and, you know, geez, so funny, funny, funny. I love Jesus. I mean, he's just had some funny with me. Okay. But listen, I met Jesus super duper, and I found out Jesus said, I go to heaven. And I knew I go to heaven, and I knew I didn't have to stop in purgatory. I found that in the Bible. It was just refreshing, except for this thinking, I'm going to call it purgatory mentality. I kind of carried it with me. I kind of carried it with me, and I'll explain what I'm talking about because it has to do with grace, okay? So my purgatory mentality that I carried into me is that, you know what? I know I'm going to heaven, but I think God might be mad at me because, you know, I'm not perfect and I sin. And sometimes I like to sin. Sometimes I don't want to sin. And I think he's mad at me, and he's probably looking at me and scowling. Oh, that's that D. Did you see what she did? Oh, man, I just kind of mad at her. I had that mentality because I didn't have understand that I'm to live in grace, okay? And it wasn't until I read the books. I went to the bookstore, y'all, and I started getting to my Bible, and I went into a great teaching church and stuff, and I found out that I am to live under grace. So what does grace mean? Well, grace, real simple, is you can't earn God's love. Oh my gosh, that was so freedom. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't be bad enough because you're never good enough. God, you just accept God loves you through Jesus. Man. So listen, if you're struggling some days, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I am his favorite. God loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. God, and sing every song you want because that is the grace of God. Just taking it. Just taking it, okay? And God loves me. The second part is not only that he loves me, he loves me no matter what. No matter what, he loves me. It's sort of like a mama. It's really like a grandma's. Grandmas are just, they're just fruity in the head, but they just look at their kids. They love them, those grandkids, no matter what. No matter. When I was a mom, some days I didn't love them, okay? But grandmas, my favorite, just mop the floor. Some kid goes into the refrigerator, grabs the jug of apple juice. It wasn't always loving, but grandmas, they're like, oh, it's okay, honey. It's like God's love's even better than grandma's love. God loves you no matter what. Now, does it mean you get to live like whatever, whatever? Does it mean you can just mess up, purposely sin, purposely do stuff you know mama was going to get upset with you? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But I'll tell you what, we are all struggling in areas. Anybody got one area you're struggling in? Just one, right? Okay, and we're all trying to grow, right? You're all trying to grow, okay? But God loves us regardless. And that is the grace of God that you are to live under. Oh, praise God. Okay, open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures out of Galatians. So this Galatians book that Paul was writing to these people here, they didn't understand living under grace. So Paul, dear Paul, sweet Paul, had to write a whole book. the book of Galatians just to get them out of this purgatory mentality. All right? So Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. This is Paul. I'm so astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Okay, so there's a whole group of people. They just hear about Jesus. They get born again. They say, Jesus Christ, come into life. Be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Okay, they just get born again. They're like me. I didn't know much. And then there's this group. They get sucked into deception. They get sucked into deception because there's a group of people called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were Christian. They were Jews that met Jesus, but they wanted you to live under the law of Moses, all the Old Testament laws. And by the way, there's over 600 of them. I'm already tired just thinking I have to find 10, okay, and find them. Okay, so the Judaizers would come to these new people over here. Y'all new believers. You just got born again, okay? And over here, we're all the Judaizers. Come on, okay? And we see that you have accepted Jesus. Some of you guys were not Jews. You were Gentiles that received Jesus. And some of you actually are Jews that accepted Jesus. But we are the Judaizers. And Paul comes in and preaches, and they get saved. And then he goes to the next church, and the Judaizers come in here, and they start grabbing them, and I'll tell you what they're going to say. So Paul would go to the next church. He'd come to the next church, and these people would receive Jesus. Oh my gosh, Jesus is so good. He loves me regardless of what. Wonderful, wonderful. And then you Judaizers would come in, and you'd grab them before they even got out of the parking lot. And you'd come up, and you'd say, hey, you know, I'm glad you met Jesus. So did I. But you got to follow the law. Matter of fact, one of the laws that you guys are not doing is you need to get circumcised because, you know, the law says you can't go to heaven unless you're circumcised. So, you know, you guys, you got to come back under the law. All right. So these guys were a real pain in the you know what to Paul. And he was really concerned about all y'all that were getting saved. He was about ready to lose y'all because of these Judaizers coming in and saying, you have to follow the law. All right, I got a verse for you. Here we go. Turn to Galatians 5, chapter 1. Galatians 5, chapter 1. Galatians 5, chapter 1. Okay? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Man. All righty, so what he's telling you is, hey, y'all, don't go back under the law. Don't go back under the law, all right? And then he says, I love this part, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He's talking about freedom, freedom of condemnation. These Judaizers are just trying to slap you silly, put this weight on you, make you feel condemned because you weren't going to do this and do that. All right, so it's about being set free from being condemned, okay? And he said, listen, Jesus sets you free, and God is not mad at you. God loves you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's jump down to verse 2. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ, Jesus, will be of no value to you at all. So he says, if you think you have to do some things for your salvation, you have to keep doing things so God won't be mad at you. You have to keep doing things. He says, your salvation is a big goose egg, zero, nothing, all right? You've made it nothing. Nothing, okay? You just kind of blew it up, all right? Now, that's pretty, Pastor D, you're pretty hard about that. I said, no. You remember that purgatory mentality? Sometimes we go, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. I can't do this. I got to pray. I got to read my Bible because if I don't, then God's going to be mad at me. God's not going to love me. And Paul is saying, hockey puck, you know, not true. Jesus Christ has died for you and set you free, so you're free. You don't have to. And he always, regardless, loves you. Everybody stop a second and say, God, you love me. God, you love me even if I screwed up last night. God, you love me if I cussed out the dog. God, you love me. You love me. You love me. Okay, verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Wow. Okay, fallen away from grace. So he's saying, you are called to live under grace, not under the law. The have to's, be perfect, da 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 da. Okay, so what is the grace of God? There's a couple of definitions, but in context here, the grace of God is God's unmerited favor. You accept him, he just suds you up, saturates you up with his favor and his love. Everybody say, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, okay? Okay, and so I go, I love Jesus, Jesus loves me, and it doesn't matter anything else. Doesn't matter, okay? That's the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, here's something else about the living under the grace of God. God does not want you to stay the same. God doesn't want you, matter of fact, he wants you to grow. Now, D, 40 years ago, jeez, I didn't know nothing, okay? I didn't know my Bible, and what I thought was normal, found out, and it's taken a process, and I'm still in the process. That's my new t-shirt. I'm in a process, okay? Y'all are in the process. You're in the process, but God wants to grow you. And that's part of this grace. That's part of him loving you. So jump over to verse 13, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, okay, believers, were called to be free. Say, I'm called to be free. But yet, I have been called, invited to stand in a divinely appointed position to be free. Okay, I've been called to be free. Called to be free. But do not let your freedom to indulge in the flesh or to sin, to mess up. Don't let that your freedom indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Okay. So all he's saying is, hey, I'm Jesus. I've saved you. I've forgiven you. I've washed your sins away. I love you. But don't go deliberately sitting in the mud pile of sin. Don't deliberately indulge in sin. All right. So he wants to grow us. He wants to grow us. I want to grow you. I want to grow myself. How many of you want your little kids just to be little kids making a mess all the time? No, I want to grow them. See, that's what God does. He wants to grow you. Okay, so that leads me to our second calling. Our second calling, write this down. We have called to live pure lives. Oh, Pastor Dan, I'm leaving. I got to go someplace. Oh, yeah. Okay, we have been, that's part of our calling, all of us, you, me, everyone. We've been called to live pure lives. Now, I use the word pure, but you can also, it's also the same word for holy. And I figured I'd just really lose you if I said holy. So, but you've been called to live pure lives. And what that word means in the Greek is spotless. Amen. Which means God wants us to clean up, right? God wants us to clean up. He wants to bring us to a place where we're cleaned up. But it's a process. Everybody say it's a process. So I got saved and I finally got a Bible and I started reading these books and I found out lying. Okay. Lying. God doesn't want me to lie. He wants me to grow and stop lying. Maybe gossip. God, you know, God wants you to stop gossiping. Or how about this? You are a professional cusser. Like, you like cussing. You're called to cuss. Granny cussed, so it must be okay. Cuss, 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 cuss. Bleep, 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 bleep. Okay? Now, so now you've received Jesus and you go out in the foyer and you start beep, beep, beep. And everybody looks at you going, what is that person's problem? Okay. But, and you're just like, I just, and someone finally goes, you know, you shouldn't be cussing. And you go, what the huh? Cause you are a professional, right? Not looking at anybody today. Okay. Let me read my notes so I don't get in trouble here. Alrighty. So, but then one day you're reading Bible. And by the way, you can't find the word cuss in your Bible. So you're reading your Bible and you see this scripture. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Lights go off. That's what they're looking at me for in the foyer. Bleepity bleep. Okay, no. So then you go, oh, I guess I need to grow in this. Live holy, pure in my lives. And it's a process. It's a process. Okay, funny story. So 2 years ago, coming up three, when I tripped over the stool downstairs and broke my wrist, shattered my wrist, dislocated my wrist, just did. If you're going to go big, go big. Stacy's downstairs. It wasn't Stacy's fault. I was talking to her, but I'm walking backwards, you know, and I trip over this thing. And Stacy's got your little twins. How old are they then?
Four.
Thank you, Jesus. The words out of my mouth were not bleepity bleep, because these four eyeballs, two of the twins are staring at me. I was like, oh, Jesus! You know, so anyway, it's a process. We grow. And I was so glad I grew that day. All right? Yeah. Yeah, you fall and have something drop you on the toe. I want to see what you say, all right? But we are in a process. Amen. Say, it's a process. Praise God. Okay, so that's about living holy, pure lives. Now, there's another side to purity, and it's called sexual purity, all right? And the Bible's got a whole lot to say. It's kind of a big thing, sexual purity, all righty? Now, I really think it's more of a problem today, not because they invent something goofy, but it's more of a problem today because of the internet, because of your smartphone, because of, oh, Google, all right? Listen, when I was growing up, long, long time ago in a far, far away place, you had to go to a store and buy the stuff. Buy a magazine, buy a video. You had to go someplace, and then you're sitting there, hope they don't see me walking out, okay? Nowadays, you can just go to your computer, go to your iPhone, okay? It's a big problem for kids. Parents, you got stuff to do, man. You got lots of, woo, praise the Lord. Let me tell you a story. I was hanging out with some friends. It was probably before Christmas, and they are grandparents, okay? And this grandpa's telling me this story, how he was watching a movie, one of those Christmas movies, Christmas time with his 8-year-old grandson. So they're watching the movie, and then the commercial comes on, and it's some skanky-looking girl on the commercial. Okay, you know what I mean? They don't have enough clothes. So the little 8-year-old goes, oh, and he grabs a pillow, and he puts his head down. And the grandpa watched this, boom, and he says, I don't know what the little boy's name is, Tony, whatever. Hey, Tony, you know, it's okay to look at girls because God made them pretty. I know, Pop-Pop, I know, but Pop-Pop, I don't want to see them without their clothes on. Right. And, you know, the grandparent was telling me, he goes, man, those parents are doing a good job. Yeah, that's parenting, guys. You're to train up your kids, not just boys, girls, all right? All right. So praise the Lord. That's a good one. All right. Now, another one. This is the same family. The grandpa was telling, he was so proud of his kids and daughter and stuff like that. His daughter took these two little kids, the little boy, Tony. Can't even remember his name. Don't tell her. I don't know that. The little boy, Tony's 8, and then his little sister, Susie, because I can't remember names here. And Susie's about 5. And they're at the mall shopping. And they were shopping and they bought this, this, and this. And then they wanted to cut through the department store to get over there to get that, that, and that. And the mom wasn't thinking. She just grabbed these kids. And all of a sudden, the 5-year-old yells, Mommy, that girl needs some clothes on. Out loud. Real loud. And she's like, what? And she realizes she's traipsing these two little kids through the lingerie section. And then she looks at her little son, and he had a hood on. Next thing you know, the hood's like this. And he's like, good job, parents, right? Good job. Praise God. Okay, but we're to stay pure. We're to stay pure, and there's, grab a pillow, put your hood on, okay? Praise the Lord. So sexual purity has been a problem in every culture. Open up to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, because they were dealing with it too. 1 Thessalonians 4, 2, and 3. 4, 2, and 3. This is what the Bible has to say about this, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4, 2, and 3. For you remember that we taught you by the authority of the Lord. So he's letting them know it's not his opinion. This is Paul. It's not his opinion. He says, I'm letting you know by God, what God said, right? By the authority of the Lord Jesus, verse 3, God's will is for you to be holy, pure, spotless, right? So stay away from all sexual sin. Okay, now, the next verse, he's going to get real specific. Okay, in case you're like, does this mean? He's going to get really specific. Here we go. Verse 4. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness, purity, spotless, right? And honor. Verse 5. Not in lustful passions like we pagans who do not know God and his ways. Okay, pagans were simply non-Christians. Okay, and what he's saying is they didn't know. They didn't know God's way. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have Miss D down in children's ministry teaching them all the great things that you learned, or your parents. Okay. So they weren't, they were bad people. They just didn't know. Okay. Okay. Another story. So I grew up in North Jersey, lots of Italians, and this one family, this cracked me up. So, I heard this story, a house full of six Italian kids and a mama and dad, six, God bless her. And, so one day, the dad grabs Luigi, come with me. This is dad talking to the kid, probably about 8 years old, 10 years old. Luigi, come with me. And of course, in a household like that, the only place you're allowed to go that you can lock the door is the... So he drags this kid into the bathroom. The kid, Luigi, has no idea what's going to go on. He has no idea. What, dad? You know, first off, when dad calls you and pulls you in the bathroom, you know you're in for something. And he goes, Luigi... Your mother was doing the laundry. Look what she found. And he knew right away what mom found. And he said, Luigi, what is this? Well, back in the day, you got the JCPenney's catalog. Anybody remember JCPenney's catalog? Sears catalog, okay? So you guys have no clue. You missed it. You could cut those things out. Right, the catalogs, okay? So he had cut a picture of the bra models. That page, he had cut it out and stuck it in his pocket, and mama found it, and mama said, Dad. And so he says, Luigi, what is this? And, you know, why did you do that? And he goes, well, I don't know. I hate when kids say that. I hate when y'all say that. Because I used to say it all the time, and now I can't be saying, I don't know. And then he says, well, I just kind of like looking at him. And the dad said, okay, Luigi, just don't let your mom see it again. The dad wasn't bad, not a bad person. He actually wasn't a believer. Later on, he got saved, okay? He didn't know better, all right? I would have, you know what, you would have, we would have had a big sit-down conversation and have your buns smacked here, okay? All right, so let's go on to verse 7 and 8. Pastor D, you and your stories. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8. God has called us, invited you to stand in a divinely appointed position. God has called us. You, me, us, he, she, okay? God has called us to live holy, pure, spotless lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but rejecting God's word, okay? Who gives us his Holy Spirit. This is not to put any condemnation on anybody, but simply God saying, God teaches us to live holy, pure, spotless lives. End of story. Okay. So, now I'm not going to teach on sexual purity and go into all of that. Go see Pastor Sherry, man. They do it. Praise God. By the way, parents, you're supposed to be doing this, right? So I used to go, Jack, go talk to them. Jack, okay? Because I turned 7 shades of red and stuff. But maybe you're here and you're like, okay, I want to grow, not just in sexual purity, but how about I want to grow in every area of my life to be purer. Okay, I want to grow in a purer way in every area of my life. So, praise God, we're going to do that. Here we go. 2 things you should know about that. Number 1, turn over to this scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, and write this down. 2 things so you can be purer, live spotless, live holy lives. Number 1, ready? Number 1, Ephesians chapter 1, get this. You were pure by birth. The moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, You asked Jesus to come into your life. You became a new person, a new creation. You became made in his image and likeness. You're right then on the spot. You are made pure, holy, blameless, and sinless. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us, called us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Praise God. So you are already holy, you are already pure, you are already blameless, but I got to get what's on the inside, working on the outside, everything on the inside. I got to work on the outside. And you know how you get what's on the inside, working on the outside? Grab your Bible, renew your mind to the Word of God. You got to get in the Word. I was talking to a lady this week. She goes, Pastor D, you always say this. I go, yeah, I do. That's okay. But if you want to live that pure, holy life, you will have to renew your mind to what God says. Okay. Now, anybody struggling in some areas of your life, raise both hands, okay? We're all struggling when it's a process and we grow, amen. And God wants to grow us, praise the Lord. Okay, the second thing you need to understand so that you can live what's on the inside, working on the outside, is this Bible. Turn over to 2 Timothy. This is your number one tool in your tool belt. Ready? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize, what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare us and equip us to do every good work. All right, and we'll talk about, that's talking about your specific calling, but here's all it's saying. I've been born again. I've received Jesus for more than 40 years. Oh my gosh, okay? And this is what I do. I grab my Bible and I read it. And sometimes I read it and I go, whoa, really? Oh my gosh, is that what it says? And sometimes I read that Bible and I go, I don't want to do that. Anybody have one of those? I don't want to do it. I have to forgive that person. You know what they did? What? And then I go, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. But it's talking to me. It's talking to me. I'm reading this Bible. And then I say, okay, God, I can't. But God, can you help me? Anybody ever ask God to help you to do some of those things he points out in your life? Sometimes I'll ask for some accountability partners. I'm like, Susan, every time you see me do this, smack me, okay? All right. But the Holy Spirit does it gentler than Susan, but sometimes you need these people in your life, all right? So I'll ask the Holy Spirit. And so guess what? He wants to help you. God wants to help you, okay? So we are called to live under grace. There's no condemnation. God loves you regardless, okay? And we are called to live pure lives, and it's a process, all right? So here's number three, and wow, we're doing great. Number three, we are called to be God's friend. We are called to be God's friend. We got a couple songs. I'm a friend of God. Okay, we're called to be God's friends. Okay, you have been invited to stand in a divinely appointed position where you are going to be called to be God's friend. So I have a dear friend, and she's one of those surprised childs. Parents thought they were done having babies, and all of a sudden, mama's pregnant. My Cassie is my surprise child. But my friend, her mom was 40, thought all the plumbing was turned off, and oh my gosh, she's pregnant. There's 10 years difference. 10 years, okay? And my friend's born on the scene here. And at first, babies are cute. Everybody say, babies are so cute. All right, but then you're like 12, 13, you're the two older sisters, actually. She has two older sisters, and my friend would like come busting in the room, and they'd go, get out of here! You're a brat! You're a baby! You're whiny! You're a doofus! That's the word we used to use back then. So she would be at forever. They'd be just, you know, she just wanted to be a part of them, because hang out with them, and they'd just be yelled, get out of here, you're whiny, you're baby, you're doofus. Okay. And my friend, as she got older and she got born again, she says, you know what? Doesn't matter if they don't want to be my friend. P.S. Write this down if you're training kids up. Doesn't matter. God wants to be my friend. She says, man, it just changed how I took the hard punches in life. God, doesn't matter. God wants to be my friend. So turn over to John 15. John 15, verse 15. Remember, we're called to be a friend of God, all right? I no longer call you servant because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, okay? For everything that I learned from the Father, I've made known to you, okay? There's a shift. Do you see the shift? First you were a servant, and now God says, hey, you're my friend. You're my friend. See the shift? Okay. Now, some of you can probably say, well, Pastor D, I read my Bible and Paul's always saying, Paul, a servant of the Most High God. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus. Peter even says that. Okay. That word servant there, it's not like you think a servant. Okay. What they were saying, Paul, Peter, I choose to be a bond slave for the Lord Jesus. Yes, God is my friend. I'm a child of God, but I have chosen to give my life to be a bond slave. Just live my life for God. Personally, we should all say that, right? Amen. Yeah, sure. Everybody's raising their hand on that one. Okay. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says, but God says, you're my friend. You're my friend. What? You are my friend. Who are you friends with? What? Who are you friends with? You're friends with God, okay? So turn over to here. I got another one, good scripture here. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9, okay? So you are my friends. That's what God is saying. You are my friends. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm going to say this. God is faithful who has called, invited you to stand in a divinely appointed position to be in fellowship with Jesus. The word fellowship is a koinonia word. It's a Greek word meaning koinonia. It means intimate friendship. You are called to have intimate friendship with God Almighty. You are called. You are desired. Some of you are like, I don't have any friends. Yes, you do. If I hear that one more time, God, wash your mouth out with soap. You are called to have friendship with God. You've got the best friend ever. Everybody say, I got the best friend ever. I got the best friend, okay? So, praise the Lord. Now, intimate friendship. So I love this, and I say this, but, you know, I've got some friends that I may see once a year, and anybody have those friends, and you see them, and you go, oh, it was like we never were apart. We just like, okay, but that's not intimate friendship, is it? It just means you guys click again, all right? But intimate friendship, you want to know how to have intimate friendship? Well, intimate friendship, okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Intimate friendship means when you talk, I hear. When you talk, I hear. That's intimate. Some of you, not listen to you. No. Intimate friendship. I want to hear. So I hear from God all the time. He talks to me all the time. By the way, I talk to him all the time. Anybody talk to God all the time? Not just help. But I mean, you have a good conversation with him. And I tell him what's going on in my life. I tell him how I feel. I tell him this. I tell him that. And so I talk to him all the time, and he talks to me. And the number one way that God talks to you guys, what is it? The word. I never hear from God. Oh, you just told me you don't read your Bible. Spank, spank. Gotcha. Okay, number one way you're going to hear God is just read your Bible. It's God's word. It's powerful. It's sharper. It is God talking to you. Okay, so I hear from God all the time. Hallelujah. I read my Bible. So intimate. When I read my Bible, I want to be intimate. So when I read my Bible, I'm hanging out with God. Who'd you hang out with this weekend? Everybody should say, I hung out with God. Come on, who'd you hang out with this weekend? Intimately hung out with him. Whoa, okay. So I will read my Bible and I hear from God because I have an intimate friendship with him. And then the other thing that I do is I worship. I worship. Worship, man, you get into the presence of God. And I like what my one pastor friend says. Worship is the atmosphere of heaven. So it becomes really intimate, all righty? So God has invited you to have intimate friendship with him. And you know, there's some days y'all gone. Y'all forgot me. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Ah! Okay, there's some days I have that. Some days I don't have time for friendships, but I have time for an intimate friendship with God. And boy, intimate, he just loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Okay, so it's amazing. Let me wrap up here. Yes, I can do this in 3 minutes. Last week we talked about the number one prayer in the whole Bible that I think, personally. The number one prayer in the New Testament is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We talked about the number one prayer, and we did the second part of the prayer. How about if we do the first part? Talk about doing things backwards. That's okay. But we're going to look at the second part first. Da-da. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Okay? This is the number one prayer. And remember I said last week, I pray this for you. I pray for a couple times a week, I pray this prayer for you. I pray it for me. I pray it for my kids. I pray it for you. And I also said, by the way, you can pray this yourself. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. This is Paul. I have not stopped cussing you. No. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Some of you just need to stop complaining. Just start giving thanks. All right. Paul, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit. The Greek really is a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so you may know him better. So I pray this for you. God, open up their eyes. Give them wisdom and understanding that they would know you better. Know that they live under grace. Know that they live pure lives. Know that you have an intimate friendship. I just pray that you would know God better. That should be exciting. Praise the Lord. That's so exciting. I love it. Okay. So I pray this all the time for you guys. And it is a process in knowing God better. How many of you have received Jesus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40, 50, 60, 100? Whoa! Okay. How many of you got getting to know him better? Yeah, you are not the same person the day you receive Jesus Christ, because in Jesus' name you're growing, all right? But pray this prayer and let the Holy Spirit, he just comes, start moving. I don't know how he does it, but he just opens up your understanding when you read your Bible and you start knowing him. And I want to know, it says, the riches and the treasures that are in him that he has for us. The more I get here, the more I read, the more I just get quiet and he starts talking to me, I start knowing just the amazing life you're called to have. Okay, I pray this for you. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor D, I'll pray it for myself. Okay, please pray this for yourself. Then I don't have to go on full time. Okay, praise then. All righty. How do I wrap up? I'm going to give you one last scripture, Psalm 149. Psalm 149, it's really short, verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Can you just see him? He looks at you and he goes, ah! All right, I know I'm being a little goofy, but that's how God looks at you. He takes pleasure in you. You should be all smiling. Man, God takes pleasure in his people. Oh my gosh. God takes pleasure in the people and he'll beautify the meek in the salvation. Okay. So God doesn't think you're a big pain in the neck. God doesn't think you're a baby. God doesn't think you're a doofus. God thinks you are wonderful. He loves you. He's so glad that he's called you into friendship with him. Woo! Praise the Lord. All right. So this is your general calling. You're called to live under grace. You're called to live pure and holy and spotless lives. It's a process. Everybody say, I'm in a process. Some of you are in the process. I am still in the process, okay? And the last one, you're called. God's called you into an intimate friendship. So how about bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, your word is so good. I thank you, Father, that this word sticks to them. Father, it explodes life in us, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you continue to minister this word to our hearts all week. Just continue ministering to our hearts. And I really believe that through the Holy Spirit and through the word, that God's just lifting this junky condemnation. I'm not good enough. God's mad at me. God's sad at me. God's just upset with me. I just see it being lifted off of some of you now in the name of Jesus. And I also see that some of you, your eyes were like, what? God has called me into a relationship of friendship with him. Gosh darn, I am special. God has called me into friendship with him. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. You just continue to minister, speak to our hearts. We're just going to get quiet and just let him just make it real, clearer than ever before. Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to pray one more thing. Maybe you're here and you have never asked to have that personal relationship. You have never asked Jesus to come into your life. And I'll tell you, today's the day of salvation.